Now it's Bible reading time.
The reading is in Genesis, and you remember that we've been following the story of Abraham as he sought to follow the Lord. So our reading today is in Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 19. It's a bit long, but it's story, so it's good to follow. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He's broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." May the Lord give us understanding as we think about those verses today. Well, we continue with the story of Abraham. Abraham, as he'd been up till today, for today we see the change of name. The story so far: Abraham and Sarai left Ur of the Chaldees, first of all with Abraham's father and with his nephew Lot. They left Ur of the Chaldees, and the father died, but they continued moving on. And Abraham was following the voice of God, but he didn't know where he was going. And that, to me, is always an amazement. It's one thing to set out on a journey when you know where you're going. You can put your sat-nav or whatever and set out. But if you don't know where you're going, that was faith. He knew that God was moving him forward, but he didn't know where he was going to end up. But God had promised Abraham that he will bless him, and not just him, but his descendants and all the nations of the world will be blessed through him. And as we've seen the story, if you followed over the past year or so, I guess now, from time to time, we've seen Abraham and Sarai on their journeys, ups and downs. They made some mistakes, and they made some big mistakes. The last mistake we looked at, when they decided they needed to help God with his plan. And so Sarai told Abraham to sleep with her handmaid, Hagar. Abraham, for better or for worse, listened to what his wife told him and did that, and Ishmael was born, and that did not turn out at all well. But God was faithful, not just to Abraham and Sarai, but also to Hagar. And we saw last time how God met with Hagar in her distress and blessed her as well. Today the story of Abraham moves up a gear in this covenant. God establishes his covenant with Abraham. We read that in verses 1 and 2. We read, it's amazing first phrase there. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. 99. That's getting on a bit, isn't it? And God has a new phase of his plan for Abraham and Sarai. That God established a covenant with Abraham. A covenant. As far as I got in my thinking initially, what's a covenant? What do we understand by a covenant? Sometimes we think of a covenant as a contract. Okay? What's the difference between a covenant and a contract? Contract is a legal agreement between two parties. Each party agrees to do something if the other party does their bit too. The parties involved may be individuals, or one of them, more of them I guess, might be companies or organizations. Now we all have contracts, don't we? I think of one contract I've got is with TalkTalk. My contract with TalkTalk, I pay so much per month and they deliver internet at a certain speed. And they sent me a contract, and I said, yeah, right. But then they sent me a bill, and the bill was not according to the contract. So I ring them up and sort that out. And they said, we've got the contract, and you're right, so we'll credit you with what we've charged you extra. So it was a legal agreement that was binding upon both parties. But that was with me and an amorphous organization. I know I spoke to an individual eventually on the phone, but it was a different individual every time. They were representing the organization. But a covenant is more than just a contract, different to a contract. A covenant is a relationship between two partners who make binding promises to each other. I'm reading this because I took it off the internet from BibleProject.com. It says, a covenant is a relationship between two partners who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. They're often, covenants, accompanied by oaths, signs, and ceremonies. Covenants define obligations and commitments, but they are different from a contract because they are relational and personal. Think of a marriage. A husband and a wife choose to enter into a formal relationship, binding themselves to one another in lifelong faithfulness and devotion. Then they work as partners to reach a common goal, like building a life or raising children together. So they're saying that marriage isn't a contract, although these days in our culture that's more or less what it's become, even to the extent in, I don't think we have it so much in England or in United Kingdom, but in the USA they have prenuptial agreements, which puts the contract in force. So if you go off and leave me, this is what you're going to have to pay. But basically, marriage is a covenant between two people who promise to do something, not if you do this, I'll do that, but this is what I will do. And that's what a contract is. And it's to do with a relationship. Contract is a matter of business, but a covenant is a matter of relationship. And in the Old Testament, we've got a number of covenants that God established with different people. You might think, oh, just got the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Well, actually, in the Old Testament, there's a whole load of covenants that God made with different people and different groups. One with Adam, right at the beginning. One with Noah, after the flood. One with Abraham, that we're looking at now. One with Jacob. One with David, establishing the kingdom. One with Moses. That was a very critical one. Actually, it wasn't so much with Moses, it was with the children of Israel at the time of Moses, when God led them out and gave them the law and established his covenant with them. But today we're really focusing in the Old Testament just this one covenant that God made with Abraham. So, what does God covenant to do? You can use covenant as a noun, but also as a verb. God covenants to do certain things. He promises, he binds himself to do certain things. And we read that in verses 3 to 8 in our reading. Let me read them again. Verse 3. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful." God is listing the things that he covenants to do for Abraham. I'll make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. This is what God commits himself to do in establishing the covenant. But he expects from Abraham too. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you," this is verses 9 to 14. God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. An uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." So God establishes what he will do, what he's expecting from Abraham, and says the sign of this covenant is circumcision for males. The covenant established a personal relationship between God and Abraham and his descendants. This relationship, I think, how do we summarize this relationship? Well, in verse 8 it says, I will be their God. And that to me was the summary of the covenant. God says, I will be their God. And he commits himself. And that's unlike other religions. When there were lots of religions around in those days, and mainly it was people seeking God, trying to find favor with God, trying to get something from God, health, wealth, whatever, from God. But God says, I will be your God. And he took the initiative. And that's the summary of that relationship. And from that time on, there was a special relationship between Abraham and the Lord God Almighty. This covenant relationship included not just Abraham, but his descendants. Particularly his descendants through Isaac. Abraham had other descendants, Ishmael, through Ishmael for one, but after Sarah died, he actually had another wife and had children by her. So there are lots of descendants of Abraham in the physical sense, but this covenant was particular with his son Isaac. So that's this covenant that God established with Abraham. And then we come, and we were thinking particularly about this last weekend, we come to the new covenant. And this is what Jesus talks about at the Last Supper, when he was with his disciples. And he said, I really wanted to have this meal with you. And why did he want? Well, one of the things he wanted to do was to establish this new covenant with his disciples. When Luke writes about this, this is what he says in Luke 22, verse 20. Remember, familiar words, particularly following last weekend. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So it's picking up that same theme of a covenant between God and people. And Jesus is saying, I'm establishing now a new covenant in my blood, poured out for you. Matthew expands a little bit more on that. Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28, Matthew says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus picks up this whole idea of covenant and establishes with his disciples and their descendants, not physically, but spiritually, we are, as disciples of Jesus, we are the descendants. And so the covenant is with us too. Okay, we look to see what God covenanted to do for Abraham and his descendants. What did God covenant to do in the new covenant? What has he promised us? What has he committed himself to do for us? Okay, that's my question. See how many of you are awake and listening and following. What did God promise to do in the new covenant? Forgiveness of sins. Is it up there? Oh yeah, forgiveness of sins. It's up there. Good. And that's the primary part of this new covenant. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So God commits himself in that new covenant which Jesus is establishing here. He commits himself to forgive our sins. Wow, that's quite a commitment, isn't it? God covenants to forgive our sins. Jesus seals that covenant with his own blood. And those covenants in the Old Testament, they would have animals and that, and they would slaughter these animals, and they would be the ritual, the covenanting, the mark of the covenant. I guess circumcision's a bit like that too. But here it is, Jesus' own blood, his own life given to establish this new covenant. For more than forgiveness, the Lord covenants to bring us into a new relationship with himself. Sometimes we get stuck, or we can get stuck thinking about, yeah, I confess my sins, he's forgiven me, and that's it. But that isn't it. There's much more in the new covenant than this. As we saw, it was relational with Abraham. There was a new relationship established between God and Abraham and his descendants. And so the Lord brings us into a new relationship with himself in the new covenant. In this new covenant, he works to make us more and more like himself, to be remade in his image. That's his purpose. In a sense, that's his eternal covenant right from the beginning. That's what he decided to do, make a people for himself in his image. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing with us who are in this new covenant with him. What would it be like to be like him? I don't know. The Apostle John didn't know either, so I'm not expecting to know more about it than that. God established his covenant with Abraham, and then he says, as for you, you need to fulfill the covenant. So what does he expect us to do? In this new covenant, what's his expectation for us? Well, first, and perhaps most obvious expectation, that his disciples should accept that new covenant and the new covenant relationship that goes with it. This might sound obvious, but not all the disciples that night accepted the new covenant. Judas was there when Jesus was establishing the new covenant. He chose not to accept it. He chose not to enter into that new relationship. And he went his own way to his own destruction. So we have that choice. Either we say yes to the new covenant, sealed with the blood of Jesus, or we turn away from it. The Lord does not force any of us into this covenant relationship any more than he forced Abraham or any of Abraham's descendants into that covenant established then. And that's a very serious thing as we think about it. Have we accepted his covenant? As we said, yes, Lord, I want to be in that covenant relationship and benefit from all that you have done for me. There are some common factors between the Abrahamic, sometimes they call it, but I don't know why, between the Abraham covenant and the new covenant. Number one, both are initiated and established by God. And I see that as very important. God came to Abraham and said, I'm making a new covenant, I'm making a covenant with you. The Lord took the initiative with Abraham, and he takes the initiative with us. God established the covenant. He did all that was necessary to establish the covenant with Abraham. And he's done all that's necessary to establish the new covenant with us, with each one of us. Another similarity are both involve a new relationship. Abraham's new relationship was signaled by a new name, Abraham. In this new covenant, we're given more than a new name. I thought, thinking about this, well, what how is the new relationship for us? And it bowled my mind when I realized this new relationship, he has given us his very spirit. He has given us his spirit to be in us. And that's the new relationship that he calls us into. To live within us and to work towards that goal. In a sense, we covenant with God to say we're going to work towards this goal of me, John Holman, being in the image of Christ and like him. But there are differences. There are differences between these covenants. The covenant with Abraham involved the ritual of circumcision for all males. But the new covenant is by faith alone. No circumcision, no other ritual involved. Not baptism. Baptism isn't a ritual that brings us into the covenant relationship. It's a flag, it's a sign, it's something we can wave and say, I'm in the new relationship. It doesn't bring us into it. Or the communion doesn't establish the new relationship. It's a celebration of a new relationship. One other difference is that the covenant with Abraham was related to a particular people group. We'd call them these days the Jews. Actually, it's more than the Jews, because the Jews were just the descendants of Judah. But the descendants of Abraham, particularly those through Isaac, the covenant with Abraham was restricted really to those. Now, you could sort of join if you agreed to become one of those people, so you could be a proselyte and could join in, but you had to become one of them to be part of the covenant. But the new covenant, the one that Jesus established, is open to all. Not just the physical descendants of Abraham. So we accept the new covenant relationship by faith and become members of God's own family. But a covenant is only of value if it is accepted. So the choice is ours. Accept the new covenant that Jesus died to establish, or reject it and refuse the relationship. As I said earlier, this brings us straight into the communion service. Today we have the opportunity to affirm our acceptance of the new covenant. It doesn't bring us into it, but we can say, yes, I recognize that I am part of this new covenant. Taking communion celebrates the new covenant relationship. As we take the bread and wine, we declare, shout if you like, that we have accepted God's covenant with us, sealed with the blood of Jesus himself. We declare that we are in new relationship, covenant relationship with God. So, if you have accepted, talking not you singular, not you plural, if you have accepted the new covenant and believe that your sins are forgiven because of the death of Jesus, then I invite you to join with me in celebrating that fact as we share communion together.